I want to talk with you today about spiritual activism. And I have used this word before, and I'd like to refresh our collective memory about what this might mean. Social activism is something that we understand to be related to what we do together on an outer level, writing letters to congressmen or women, participating in a march, participating in a protest, being active in civic settings in your town or community. That's social activism. Spiritual activism has to do with an activity of consciousness that we take responsibility for. In other words, we hold that being conscious is an activity. It's an activity that involves degrees of commitment, intentionality, purpose, and a sense, and here's the important part, of its effectiveness. Consciousness affects consciousness. How we hold our awareness during every day affects not only ourselves, but everybody else around us. So there is a question that we each need to raise within ourselves about what do we feel ready for in terms of being conscious. That's the question of spiritual activism, the responsibility for consciousness, the responsibility for awakeness. And the alternative to being conscious is to be asleep, or in its more common language, since we're not literally asleep during the day, to be indifferent, to be numb, to be absorbed without knowing that one is absorbed in it, so that you lose awareness of what's going on either in you or around you. But numbness and indifference are pretty much streams of energy that can affect us individually and that can affect us collectively, so that we don't pay attention to what we need to pay attention to. And there's another part of this. As much as we hold to spiritual principles of what we would like to be and what we would like the world to be, as much as we hold an ideal, let's say, of how we would like to be, how we would like the world to be, there is an opposing fear level that we need to recognize that keeps us smaller. The fear level, which we call anxiety, goes through as a ripple through our days and says, you have to worry about this particular thing because it's painful or because it needs to be addressed or because it's there. And every one of us, every single person, has something that they're concerned about in that way of being personally involved with some uncertainty that then takes up the screen of consciousness. So when that happens to a small degree, you know, when we're only a little bit anxious or a little bit preoccupied, then we can pay attention to events that are happening in the news a little bit. Or we can pay attention to, I forgot to make the phone call to a friend or to a relative, or, you know, I now remember that I forgot to do this, so let me do it. But when anxiety gets larger about the condition, the inner or outer condition, or the physical condition, then the screen of our consciousness contracts, and we're no longer present even while we think we're present. We're not present. Because what we're present to is our level of anxiety. We're not really present to what's going on around us. So these are the things, numbness, indifference, and fear, anxiety, which cause us to not become conscious, or to cause us to, let's say, lose track of being conscious. And the important thing about it is, what do we each believe is necessary in terms of what we have to pay attention to? The difference in one way of speaking between a spiritual life and a life that doesn't include an awareness of the divine, and that's a false dichotomy because there's all kinds of gray in between, but the difference between those two poles would be the feeling, I have to do everything myself. It means I have to do everything myself, I have to figure out everything myself, I have to think of everything myself. Or it could be that you share that burden of responsibility with a partner or a loved one. So, you know, we could put parentheses about that. The spiritual perspective, as compared to that, is I don't have to do everything myself. And thinking that I have to do everything myself takes me away from truth. It doesn't bring me nearer to a truth. It takes me away from truth. So, if we have an aspiration towards being responsible in the sense of being conscious, then we have to see what takes us away from that, including the level of fear that we orient towards or gravitate towards during the day. And then we have to ask ourselves, what kind of belief do we have about what I, you, anyone, what are we capable of? What are we capable of? And I hold and want to convey to you that even in the presence of anxiety, we are each capable of being present in a much larger way if we choose to. We can give ourselves to the anxiety of whatever is presenting itself on the screen of our daily concerns, or we can say, yes, this is here, and also there's more of me than that. There's more of me. I choose to be present to life because becoming obsessed with or embedded in or immersed in that level of anxiety is not going to do me any good. There's a higher principle involved. Not only won't it do you any good, but most of the time, problems that are difficult can't be figured out with the mind. They just don't lend themselves to an easy solution. And so it's often much better to let go of thinking and preoccupation just from the standpoint of how problems get resolved. But if you have a spiritual life, then there's another reason that's more important or as important, which is you bring God and divine guidance into the picture. You bring it into the picture. You bring the divine presence into the picture of whatever you're facing, and you don't give yourself to numbness, indifference, or anxiety. Numbness and indifference, by the way, I'm using it as a three-part coping mechanism. Numbness and indifference is usually a response to not wanting to feel. I don't want to feel, so I become numb. It can also be a level of consciousness that hasn't yet awakened in us. That's true too. But for many of us, it's the response of, I'm feeling too much, I have too much to deal with, so I'm not going to feel this, or I'm not going to pay attention to this. Maybe it's true. Maybe the pain threshold that we're living with is so high that the only thing that we can feel is pain. Pain has a way, especially physical pain, emotional and physical pain. Pain has a level of absorption into our attention span, so that if we're in great pain, it becomes the whole landscape. And for that time, there feels like there's no room for anything else. But mostly pain isn't at that level of intensity all the time. Mostly there's some room to say, is there anything else possible here than just paying attention to how much pain I'm feeling? And so in that question, we go towards what is the divine telling me about what's important to pay attention to? How am I being guided? Spiritual activism has to do with the commitment to consciousness because we make a difference. We make a difference to our own life in shaping it and we make a difference to the lives of everybody around us, which includes our immediate contacts with people and the rest of the world that we don't know. The premise of spiritual activism and of being conscious is that everything matters. We matter. Everything we think matters. Our being present matters. Our not being present matters. Everything matters. That's the premise beneath it. And so, if one holds to that premise, then we each do what we can to stay awake, to not get lost in our anxiety preoccupations, or to not get lost in indifference. For example, as I said earlier, if you have forgotten to call somebody that you said you'd call, it's a very small example. But, you know, in the course of a busy day, you could say to yourself, when you remember that, it doesn't matter, I can call them later. We postpone because it doesn't matter that you postpone. Well, it does matter. It matters. Everything matters. And being unconscious matters to the rest of the world. And we need to hold it that way, that everything matters. Our ignoring others matters. Our not listening matters. Our not offering help matters. Our not being aware that there's anything that requires our help matters. That awareness comes from what I'm saying, that we are operating with this ripple effect of low-level or higher-level anxiety, so we're not there. We think we're there, we tell ourselves we're there, but we're not there. There's also another part of this that I want to put before you, and that is that there is, despite all disclaimers, a fear of becoming more conscious, just like there's a fear of becoming more spiritual. I don't know whether each of you has felt that, but certainly many people feel it. The fear of being more spiritual, that's in quotes, because it means so many different things. The fear of being more conscious. And what that fear amounts to is a specific anxiety that one will lose the grounded ability to function in one's life. It's as if being more conscious will take away the limited capacity that has existed to keep things even and smooth. And so we don't go in the direction of change. We don't go in the direction of risk-taking. We don't go in the direction of opening more because we believe, inaccurately, that by keeping things the same as they have been, we remain grounded and then we remain able to cope with or function in our daily life. That's a big, big one to face. The fear of consciousness itself, the fear of spirituality itself, as if your functioning or capacity would be gobbled up and you would be taken someplace, lose your footing, and not know how to deal with life. And a person can feel that to varying degrees. But what it causes, in whatever degree you might feel it, what it causes is a holding on to the old, a holding on to the familiar, because it is familiar, and because we need security of the familiar. All right. That's something to be looked at in your life. You need the security of the familiar. That's fine. Look at it. Look at what you're holding on to. Look at what you're afraid to do in terms of allowing something new to come into the picture. Look at it and see what you're ready to do. Sometimes when I have this conversation with people about taking risks, someone will say to me, "What risks? I'm taking risks." And don't have an awareness of what in a person's individual day would be a risk because it never lit itself up on the screen of consciousness. Within every person's life, everyone, there's a border, a boundary that one steps across into new behavior, new opportunities, new conversation, new thoughts. Why? Because we're made that way. We are made with a stream of consciousness that comes from our soul's desire to express itself, not to remain static, but to continue self-expression in an ongoing way. We're made that way. So to say that there's no risk that you are aware of that you could take or need to take is based on having closed down to the possibility of the new. So then of course, if you've closed down, then it seems like, well, everything's fine, there's nothing new to do. But there always is. There's always something new to do. There's always something, if you hold this consciousness of spiritual activism, if you hold that there's an ideal that we are collectively and individually moving towards, well, then we're continually moving towards it. That's just the way it is. We're moving towards it incrementally, something that will, we hope, bring to us and to the world greater wholeness, greater peace, greater harmony. We wish that for ourselves and we wish that for everyone. So there's an ideal we're holding. And if there's an ideal we're holding, then by being conscious, by taking responsibility for consciousness, we are taking responsibility to move incrementally towards that ideal. If we're walking around feeling overwhelmed or preoccupied or anxious or wanting things to stay the same, then there's nothing to move towards. Then there's just trying to stay afloat, trying to survive, keeping everything quiet, not making waves, doing everything the way it's been done. I assure you that that is not necessary, that inspiration is readily available to each person if they are willing to look for it, if there is space made to feel inspired. Inspiration is available to each of us. Guidance is available to each of us to, for example, answer the question, what risk could I take today that would bring me closer to what I wish for myself and others? It's a very basic question. What could I do that would bring me closer to improving how I wish to be, or improving my relationship with others, or improving the collective life of the world of which I'm a part? But we're afraid to ask that question, or we're afraid to listen to the answer, because it's the burden of anxiety and of feeling that we don't matter.